Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And if you've been listening already, well, you know what that means. That makes you a highly intelligent individual. And get ready to get a lot smarter because Tom Peters is about to join us. You know who Tom is. All I have to say is In Search of Excellence. And you say, oh, yeah, that Tom Peters. That's right. It's actually, some people say it's one of the top three business books in the history of mankind. But I actually have some information here that the 2002 Bloomsbury poll ranked it as the greatest book of all time, but I think maybe it's about to be put to second place because I'm holding in my hand a book that I think could really, it's going to make an impact in the 21st century, Reimagined by Tom Peters. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim, and thank you for those absurdly kind words, my friend. I'm glad to hear the show is, you know, you've got a tape in the archive. I'm going to go listen to it.
Well, I hope you do. Tom, the reason I like your book so much, the new one, is because you agree with me so much.
Hey, that's the I've always found that's the best reason myself. Absolutely. We're on the same wavelength there.
One of the things you say in the book, Tom, is, and by the way, folks, this is a massive book. It weighs about 8 pounds, and yet it's a paperback. I mean, I got tendonitis carrying this thing around yesterday,
Jim,
Tom.
One of my reviewer friends said, if you don't like the book, you can always use it as a doorstop.
So, that's exactly, or a weapon, but...
or a weapon, right.
Tom, one of the things you say in your book, and I'm going to paraphrase you a little bit, is that anything that's happening of any importance today is being created by people, and I'm quoting Tom here, folks, pissed off people is what he said. I actually think that that's not the... Those are some of the people who are creating things. I also think a lot of the creativity is coming from entrepreneurs who are working without a net.
Oh, yeah. No. But that to me is the same thing. Look, as you know, because it's what you stand for, there is nothing which requires more commitment on earth than starting your own business. And so my point there is you don't start a business unless you're more or less annoyed at the way somebody's doing it now.
Right.
You go to a restaurant, you have a lousy experience, and you say, holy smokes, I could do that better. You deal with a financial planner, and you say, this guy's a bozo, and I know my stuff, and I could do it better. So, you know, my language is pretty strong, which I would be willing to admit, but I do believe that virtually all of innovation comes from scratching an itch somewhere, and that's about the only thing that gets us committed.
Well, that's exactly right, which brings me to a question, and it kind of gets me into a question I was probably going to hold off for a little bit longer, but I'll go ahead and bring it up since we're headed down this road, and that is something that I say that I want to get your thoughts on, and that is that it seems to me that major corporations today are where creativity goes to die. What do you think?
Is that
too strong?
Stronger and say where creativity died a long time ago. And you know what's fascinating to me is that that goes all the way up to the giant pharmaceutical companies who are getting hammered by the biotech startups now. So you would think in their world where billions of research dollars are at stake that was maybe the one refuge for big company innovation, but it's not so. I saw recently that the big American pharmaceutical companies, and this is a number where I can't even count the zeros, have lost $400 billion in market capitalization in the last 5 years. And it's, and little old Amgen, little old right. as of only 10 years ago, is now set to surpass, I think it's either Pfizer or Merck in revenues by 2009, and that's right at the top of the holy smokes, scale.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, the things that I tell my small business audience and big businesses who will listen to me is I tell them what Dorothy said to her dog a few years ago. She said, "We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto." things are we're in the 21st century.
Absolutely. Now, Jim, you must have listeners in Kansas, or you did until about 2 minutes ago.
Well, I actually said that.
I'm going to do my Kansas plug, which is a heck of a thing for a Baltimore boy. I went to Kansas for something called CanEd last year, and you will love this. The state and various private groups are putting money in to make sure that the internet reaches every corner of that very rural state.
Wow!
So we are in Kansas these days.
Absolutely.
As we both know.
Stand by, Tom. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got to sell some stuff, pay some bills. Tom Peters will be with us when we come back right after these messages. I told you we would have fun, and I told you we'd get smarter when Tom Peters joined us. His new book is called Reimagine. Stay with us. But it ain't. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, and someone who's agreed to join our brain trust, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Peters. I know all of you were waiting on me to ask him that, and I did ask him off the air, and he's accepted. And, Tom, that means I got to be honest with you, though. I got to tell you the truth about the brain trust. The brain trust is sort of like Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
I love it. That sounds good to me. It'll be among my favorite groups to be part of.
Well, all that means is you have to come back every so often, whenever we ask you, whenever you can, to join us and talk to us about to deposit some more of your pearls on us. One of the things so many things to ask you. We won't get them all today, but we'll keep going until in the shows ahead till we get them. But here's a quote, folks. The architecture of the book is just massive. I mean, there's so much information here. Don't try to eat this at once, folks. You got to eat this one little bit at a time. But he talks about Technicolor rules in his book. And in chapter 11, where he talks about designs, here's a quote that I want you to hear. Over time, even a beautiful system tends to get elaborated and elaborated. We end up serving the system rather than having the system serve us. Now, when I read that, Tom, I thought about what I've said to people on this show, and that is reinvention or extinction. You choose.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the case. And I really think that, you know, maybe all of these giant companies, they started out on the right track because they were once small businesses themselves. You know, I had my former father-in-law worked for old James Cash Penny, and at one point J.C. Penny was a tiny business. He worked in a small corner of Missouri. And then as time goes on, you know, they have a problem and they add a process, and obviously even a tiny business has got to have great processes. You know, you were advertising, I think, some software just a couple of minutes ago, and you've got to have your books in good shape and so on. But, you know, as 1 year becomes 3 years and 3 years becomes 5 years, even if you're not brilliantly successful, the procedures and the processes become more complicated. In my own small business at one point, I discovered that we had an employee manual, and, you know, we'd stolen chapters from Hewlett-Packard and so on. And for heaven's sakes, you know, you talk about dropping something on your foot. You know, we had really complicated the things to the point that I didn't understand them. And the whole reason people came to work for us was to get away from that kind of nonsense.
Right. Well, another thing that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and to get your, especially to our small business audience, is the concept of competing with the big boxes. And one of the things that my audience has heard me say many times before is that we should thank Walmart for showing up, and for two reasons. Number one, it makes it easier for us to differentiate ourselves from to our customers. And number two, all the people who were not going to do business with us anyway because they're only looking for price, it takes those people out of our hair. What do you think?
I have a little speech within a speech that I give these days, and it's called the Wallop Walmart 16. And, you know, it could be a chapter out of what you just said. And while I certainly agree that the average small business person has got to work about 25 hours a day, my fundamental comment is it's easy to beat Walmart. And what I mean by easy, which I think is what you mean by easy, is I don't care how hard they try, they can't be local.
That's
and
right.
The magic of a small business is that the community banker, the community do-it-yourself store has the opportunity to be intimate with that community, and it has a better opportunity to, you know, to invest in the July 4th, the Memorial Day parade, and you know, in a thousand ways. I mean, there's rule number one: you don't take them head on. You do not try to be a 2,500 square foot Walmart,
right.
Or
right.
You will, you know, reap the whirlwind. But, you know, if I've got a better idea, and there are lots of better ideas, you know, and one of the other nice things these days is there are all kinds of purchasing co-ops so that you can have, even on that price side,
right.
You can have 85 or 90% of the advantage of big without being big.
One of the things on the price thing, though, that I like to point out to them, and I'd like for your thought, get your thoughts on this. I tell my rule number one when it comes to the big boxes is the price war is over and we lost. Don't fight that one.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And you know, again, as you indicated earlier, you are not within your community, be it a community of 150 or 150,000. You're not going to have 100% market share.
Right.
And, you know, the person who you know, every month goes to Walmart to get 150 rolls of toilet paper or paper towels, that's life.
Right.
You know, the question is, what's your relationship with the local organic beef guy so that your even 600 square foot little food shop you know, is pounding the heck out of Walmart or Albertsons or whoever else it is? And you know, I'm 63, so I'm too darned old to be naive. But you know, whether it's my own business or whatever it is, I think it's very doable to beat them as long as you've got a different proposition.
You got to differentiate yourself. Quick break, 10 till. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tom about women. Why is he so excited about women in his book? And it's not maybe not what you're thinking. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. The book is called Reimagine. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having an outstanding visit with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Tom Peters, the co-author of In Search of Excellence, the landmark book that changed the way people think about management in the 20th century. And Tom, I believe Reimagine is going to, I don't want to say change, I think it's going to jolt people into the 21st century, and I want to congratulate you and thank you for that jolt.
I mean, I think we live in an environment, technology, the arrival of 2 billion Chinese and Indians, and so on, where the incremental change that served us well in the 1980s, as we got organized on the quality thing, and so on, is just simply not enough.
Yep. Reimagine is available wherever books are sold, right?
We hope so.
And you want to give us a website?
That's part of the point of this interview, but yes, I think the answer is they are. They are.
I thought you were just here because I'm so cool, Tom.
Well, no, that's the first 90%.
Give us the website, please.
My website is TomPeters.com. And, you know, we've been blogging for several years, and so the website, like you guys, the website is an interactive community and not a one-way conversation.
And by the way, folks, if you want to go back and hear this interview again with Tom, which I know you're going to want to, as you know, smallbusinessadvocate.com, lots of places you could, we'll have it posted in lots of places, including our blog and the schedule and et cetera, et cetera. And of course, Tom, it sounds like you were blogging before blogging was cool. Let's talk about...
Hey, listen, one thing, I know we shouldn't be doing admin things, but... with your whole audience, but you make sure you get in touch with us so we can link, you know, to not to me, but to all the
right.
archive you've got, because most of the people who are on my website are small business people.
Well, I appreciate that. That's part of the partnership, and we appreciate you making that gesture. Tom, what about women? Now, you make a big deal about women in the 21st century in your book. Why did you do that?
Because it's still in the world of business, much less in small business, I might add. It still is a world of men running companies, and the simple reality is from automobiles to vacation decisions, and these days with all the women in senior management roles to commercial products, that women buy the stuff, women have a different approach to buying things. In particular, as many of our small business folks know, whether it's the jewelry business or financial advisory, women focus on the relationship over the long
mm-hmm.
haul. And very often, per our earlier conversation, the guy's looking at the price.
That's right.
And so women are a natural in that regard. And I'll do one big business example today, which hopefully you'll let me get away with.
Absolutely, no problem. We like our big business
friends. McDonald's, as we all know, was hurting a couple of years ago. And a big part of their comeback has been focusing on women. And to make a very long story very short, McDonald's had treated, from marketing to execution, women as people who bring children
right.
into shops. And they absolutely flip that, and they say women are women, and occasionally they bring a child into a shop.
Right.
But, you know, that may sound subtle, but it's as subtle as a freight train coming at you at 100 miles an hour, and it really has been the source of a pretty unexpected comeback. I was writing them off.
Right. Well, women are, you know, women is part of the whole diversity effort that all companies should be focusing on. And focusing on diversity, Tom, is not just the right thing to do. It's good business practices.
Yeah,
it's best practices.
I was going to come back at you. I happen to think, you know, diversity is a good human thing to do. But as I say to my audiences, Jim, you know, if you're into it for human goodness, God bless you. But if you're into greed, you'll do precisely the same thing.
Tom, I got one.
I think a business has to, you know, whether you're serving an Hispanic market or an African American market or, you know, the women's thing, you've got to acknowledge that we have different traditions, and you've got to physically look a little bit like your marketplace or a lot like it.
Tom, I got 30 seconds. I know you love small business. Love us up for 30 seconds.
Well, I happen to think that the reality is that Toyota is as good as General Motors, and that the Chinese car companies will soon be the same. The Chinese have 800 million unproductive peasants, and relative, whether it's versus the Chinese or the Germans, the great American strength is higher productivity that comes from our smaller businesses. And I know that, Jim, that makes me sound like suck up number one on your show. But let me tell you, my friend, and you know this, I am right about that.
You are right, and we like sucking up around here, Tom. Hey, Tom, thanks for being here. Congratulations on the book, Reimagine. Looking forward to getting you back real soon.
Thank you, sir.
Quick, I got to go. Be back after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.